Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Good evening and welcome to the Samina Spin. I am your host, Samina Mughal. Today's podcast is called The Lesson of the Scorpion and the Frog. Now, there's a reason that I chose to talk about this story and stories like it. I've always loved books. I've always loved stories. But I'm fascinated by stories that last the test of time and can teach you something no matter what time, place, or space you live in. So I did a blog about the scorpion and the frog, but I want to talk a little bit more about it in this podcast and talk a little bit more about stories. They're wonderful things, stories. They transport you to other worlds. They entertain. They may even remind you of a truth that you weren't already aware of or that you have forgotten about. I like to go back to older stories, like I just said. Many of them have a universality to them that lasts. Some have versions in different countries, which makes them more interesting. At the same time, they have a lesson too. Sometimes those lessons are dark. Sometimes life is dark. So there's your warning about the first story I will share with you, the scorpion and the frogs. Now, I've always just connected to this story. Don't ask me why. But give me a second to get my storytelling voice going. So this is the scorpion and the frog. A scorpion is trying to cross a river. He looks around trying to assess the situation. He sees a frog sitting on the riverbank. He asks the frog to help him. "How do I know you won't sting me?" the frog says. "If I sting you, then I will die too." They go back and forth as the frog goes through the different scenarios of how the scorpion could kill him. When the scorpion refutes all of them, the frog is convinced of his own safety. He comes to the scorpion and he gets on his back. The frog starts to swim, careful to stay on the surface so the scorpion doesn't drown. Then, midstream, the frog feels a sharp pain on his back. He realizes the scorpion has stung him. As he is dying, he says to the scorpion, "Why did you do that?" "You knew I was a scorpion," he says. I know, that's a dark story because the two main characters are dead by the end of it. But I always appreciate the message of that story. The nature of a thing will always reveal itself. And to take that further, if a person shows you or tells you who they are, believe them. And trust yourself, more importantly. Now, some stories are well and good. They've lasted the test of time. But some of the morals of these stories keep you in a box. Or, to me, they seek to keep people in a box and just maintain the status quo. Now, I love fables, myths, and fairy tales, but some of them are really just designed to maintain the status quo and keep people thinking along the same lines and not make any waves. Now, one of the stories that kind of does that for me is just kind of really keeping people in whatever mindset they were brought up in, and again, just keeping them in a box. So I came across this story when I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you this evening. I came across the story called the transformed mouse seeks a bridegroom. Now, this is an Indian story. Actually, the scorpion and the frog, even though it's Aesop's, that can also be an Indian story too. There's a version of that in Indian tradition. But this one is specifically from India, and it's from the Panchatantra. So this is the story of the transformed mouse seeks a bridegroom. On the shore of the Ganges, there was a hermitage filled with holy men dedicated to prayer, self-denial, repentance, the study of holy scriptures, fasting, and meditation. They drank only small amounts of very pure water and mortified their bodies with a diet of bulbs, roots, fruits, and water plants. Their only clothing were loincloths made from tree bark. The father of the hermitage was named Yajnavalkya. He had just finished bathing in the Ganges and was about to rinse out his mouth when a little mouse fell from a falcon's beak into his hand. After looking at it, he set it onto a fig leaf, bathed himself once more, rinsed out his mouth, and performed his penitential and other rituals. Then, through the power of his holiness, he transformed the mouse into a girl. Taking her home with him to his hermitage, he said to his wife, who was childless, "My dear, take her in place of a daughter. Bring her up with care." Thereafter, she was reared, loved, and nurtured. When she was 12 years old and the wife saw that she was ready for marriage, she said to her husband, "Listen, husband, do you not see that it is past time for our daughter's marriage?" He said, "What you say is quite right. So if she is willing, I will summon the exalted sun god and present her to him as a wife." His wife said, "What could be said against that? Do it." Through the power of prayer and incantations, the sun appeared without delay, saying, "Holy man, why do you summon me?" The man answered, "Behold, here stands my little daughter. If she will have you, take her as a wife." Having said this, he said to his daughter, "Daughter, does this exalted one please you, this sun god who illuminates the three worlds?" The daughter said, "Father, he is too hot. I do not want him. Summon a better one." Hearing this, the wise man said to the sun, "Exalted one, is there a being more powerful than you?" The sun answered, "Yes, there is a stronger one than I, the cloud, through whose cover I become invisible." Then the wise man summoned the cloud and said to his daughter, "Daughter, shall I give you to this one as a wife?" She answered, "He is black and cold, therefore give me to another powerful being." Upon this, the wise man asked the cloud, "Listen, cloud, is there anyone more powerful than you?" The cloud answered, "The wind is more powerful than I. Driven by the wind, I am scattered into 1,000 pieces." After hearing this, the wise man summoned the wind and said, "Daughter, does the wind please you most of all as a husband?" She answered, "Father, he is entirely too inconstant. Summon a more powerful one instead." The wise man said, "Wind, is there anyone more powerful than you?" The wind said, "The mountain is more powerful than I, for however strong I am, he still stands firmly against me." Then the wise man summoned the mountain and said to the girl, "Daughter, shall I give you to this one in marriage?" She answered, "Father, he is hard and rigid, therefore give me to another one." The wise man asked the mountain, "Listen, king of the mountains, is there anyone more powerful than you?" The mountain answered, "The mice are more powerful than I, for they make holes in my body with violence." With that, the wise man summoned a mouse and showed him to her, saying, "Shall I give you to him as a wife? Does this mouse king please you?" Seeing him, she thought, "He is of my own kind." Her hair stood on end with pleasure, making her even more beautiful. And she said, "Father, make me into a mouse and give me to him as a wife so I can fulfill the domestic duties prescribed for my kind." Through the power of his holiness, he transformed her into a little mouse and gave her to the other mouse as a wife. Now, that's well and good that he's a holy man and he transforms the mouse into a daughter. I have a bit of an issue with the fact that she's 12 and they think it's time for her to get married, but this is an ancient story and thought certain ways in certain times, so I can forgive that or look over that. But the biggest problem I had with this was that it kind of just encourages people to just stick with their own kind. Not kind of, it does. It's pretty much, it's just stick with your own kind. Don't think outside the box. Just stick with your own kind and you'll be happy. Again, there are good points in it. I like that she gets to choose, but for me, the final message of that story is stick with your own kind. Now, let's get back to the stories that are more inspiring and have cool lessons. Believe it or not, I think the hare and the tortoise has a cool lesson. But let me share that one with you too. Now, this is an Aesop fable too. I don't know why I got stuck on Aesop fables, but I kind of did. So, you know, some of them are worthwhile. So, the hare and the tortoise. A hare was making fun of the tortoise one day for being slow. "Do you ever get anywhere?" he said with a mocking laugh. "Yes," replied the tortoise, "and I get there sooner than you think. I'll run you a race and prove it." The hare was much amused at the idea of running a race with the tortoise, but for the fun of the thing, he agreed. So the fox, who had consented to act as judge, marked the distance and started the runners off. The hare was soon far out of sight, and to make the tortoise feel very deeply how ridiculous it was for him to try a race with a hare, he lay down beside the course to take a map until the tortoise should catch up. The tortoise, meanwhile, kept going slowly but steadily, and after a time, passed the place where the hare was sleeping. But the hare slept on very peacefully, and when at last he did wake up, the tortoise was near the goal. The hare now ran his swiftest, but he could not overtake the tortoise in time. Now, sometimes, depending on where you see this story, sometimes the message is slow and steady, wins the race, or the race is not always to the swift, which I think the second one is true. Slow and steady wins the race is kind of silly to me. But the race is not always to the swift. But the bigger lesson that I get out of that is that the tortoise achieves his goal exactly by being who he is. He doesn't speed up. He doesn't try to do anything differently. He wins the race being exactly who he is. And the arrogance of the hare causes him to lose. So I love the message of stay true to who you are and you will achieve your goals, even if it seems impossible. So I love that. Now, I really wanted to find something a little more modern. So I came upon a Paulo Coelho story. I'm used to him as a novelist, pleasantly surprised to find that he shared a short story of his on his website, and it's pretty cool actually, and I'd like to share that one with you as well. "I arrive in Madrid at 8 o'clock in the morning. I will only be here a few hours, so it's not worth phoning friends and arranging to see them. I decide to go for a walk alone in my favorite places, and I end up smoking a cigarette on a bench in the Retiro Park. You look miles away, says an old man, joining me on the bench. Oh, I'm here, I say, but I'm sitting on this same bench with a painter friend of mine, Anastasio Rancho, 24 years ago in 1986. We are both watching my wife, Christina, who has had a bit too much to drink and is trying to dance the flamenco. Enjoy your memories, says the old man. But don't forget that memory is like salt. The right amount brings out the flavor in food. Too much ruins it. If you live in the past all the time, you'll find yourself with no present to remember." I love that message too, because it's a very simple one. Be present. I hope you enjoyed the stories I shared with you. keep telling and reading stories. If you like what you have heard in this podcast and would like to hear more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. If you would like to read my Behind and Beyond the Veil blog, you can check it out on www.SaminaKMogul.com. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.